Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
All right, so let's look at this here now. You were starting to point out that these people live in areas that are not well-traveled. Maybe they don't even have internet access, do they?
Actually, in some areas they do not, but they are pretty isolated. And yet, we do get reports from there. In fact, we were just speaking earlier about television shows. There was a TV show about UFOs specifically seen and experienced by First Nations people in the far north. It was produced by First Nations and Indigenous people, television show here in Canada, and focused on an area around James Bay, which is sort of the southern tip of Hudson Bay, the main bay in the far north. And what happened is that the province that is most part of that started running transmission lines. They created what's called the James Bay Power Plant, and there's very, very large hydroelectric dams and power systems in the far north around the shore of the bay, which is part of the Arctic Ocean. And when they did that, they had to, you know, sort of open up the area, and they had a lot more access. They put in roads and so forth. As they did, they started having better relationships with some of the Indigenous people in the far north, who started telling them all sorts of interesting stories about experiences they've had with regard to UFOs and encountering aliens and so forth. And the show, you know, they used me as a consultant, and I worked with them on it. And it's easily one of the best TV shows ever on UFOs, and who knows whether the rest of North America will get a chance to ever see it. It was called Indians and Aliens, and it really dealt in a very spiritual way about UFOs and the experiences of some of the people, including elders, who had seen some remarkable things. And the impression that I got from speaking with some of the producers and some of the people involved were that there are a lot more stories that, you know, just like the poster had said, that are simply not being reported for one reason or another. Part of it is a language barrier. Part of it is the isolation. In fact, I mean, we're talking isolated, where it takes, you know, 10 or 12 hours just to get up there on a road with no other towns or stops along the way and things like that on a gravel road. So we're talking very, very isolated. Even flying up there is not great because the weather is so lousy. You know, I think there probably are a lot more cases in general that are unreported. In fact, you know, Hynek and Friedman both did some general testing of audiences, you know, how many people have seen UFOs and of you, how many reported them. And it was found that, you know, 10% of the population believe they've seen UFOs. And of those, a small percentage, likely under 10%, ever report them. And that's in the general population. So when you extend things into the far north, in isolated areas, I suspect the numbers drop off. And yet, we do get some interesting cases reported from the far north from time to time. And those are really fascinating. You know, some of your listeners might be familiar with a case in the Yukon back a number of years ago that was reported, which was seen by quite a lot of people. That's actually not as isolated as the communities we're talking about now. But there was an interesting case in Fort Resolution in the Northwest Territories back, I'm thinking now in the 90s, where UFOs were seen by a lot of people living in small communities, whether they were doing some trapping and happened to report it when they came back into town and so forth. And it was investigated by the Northern Rangers, which I don't think if there's an American version of Rangers anymore. I mean, just imagine what we think about in terms of Rangers. These are not police and not RCMP and not military. They're patrol troops that patrol the high Canadian Arctic, and it was investigated by them. And there's some very, very detailed documents which are now available through the Canadian government of the investigations of the UFOs up there. And it's a whole new world in many cases.
What do you, are you seeing other waves of anomalous reports that spring up in areas where there seems to be a little mini flap going on? When I was investigating down the San Luis Valley, oftentimes we'd have strange weather concurrent with UFO reports. Crypto creature sightings, for instance, seem to be somehow on some level associated. I don't know if there was a direct connection, but are you seeing attendant phenomenon, phenomena that spring up, these types of reports that spring up around mini waves?
Yeah, I have to say there tends to be a correlation. When I started doing my investigations back in the 70s, and yes, I am dating myself, I was actually into all types of Fortean phenomena, so not just the UFOs, but Sasquatch, lake monsters, paranormal phenomena, and so forth. So it was a whole variety of things, and simply because nobody in my area had really been studying them in any great detail. So I would be typical that in a weekend I would investigate a UFO report, a Sasquatch report, and a lake monster report. And there was one interesting incident somewhere around, I'm thinking 1976, 77, something like that, in southern Manitoba, where a family had reported seeing a very large UFO. I think there were maybe three witnesses to a large UFO they described as a flying Ferris wheel. If you can just imagine, you know, a very large wheel in the sky with lights and moving around. And they saw it move in a certain direction, and they thought it landed or settled down not too far away. When I did some on-site investigations, I had spoken with them, and then I went to talk to some of the neighboring farm people, and I found that one of them had seen a Sasquatch. Within about 2 or 3 hours of these people seeing this giant UFO, and this was just within about a mile or two of the same area. And then when I was speaking with another farm person, I had sort of interrupted them as they were doing something in their field, and I had said, "Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Let you get back," because I'd asked, "Have you seen a UFO? Have you seen a Sasquatch? Have you seen anything unusual?" They said, "No, nothing out of the ordinary whatsoever." And I said, "I'll let you get back to it." And he said, "Fine." And he picked up his dowsing rods and he started looking for wells on his property. And I said, "Well, wait a minute. That's a little odd too." And he says, "Oh, if you're interested in that stuff, oh, sure. We see the spook lights zipping around all the time. And, there's something that happens over the old church. And, there's a whole series of interconnected phenomena just within maybe a 10 square mile section at that time. So, yeah, there have been some interesting conjunctions of the various Fortean phenomena. And I think there is a relationship, although I'm not sure what. I mean, we still get some reports of Sasquatch every year in Manitoba. I think there probably were 10 or 12 reports just last year. So whether that's truly connected, I mean, these were in areas far north where the UFOs aren't reported, but the phenomena themselves are very diverse.
What about statistical analysis? We only have a couple of minutes before the break, but with all this wonderful data that you've compiled, have you taken the true unknown cases and come up with like a day of the week, a time of the day that seems to be a spike in the data?
Well, as a matter of fact, my colleague Jeff Dittman, who's been my stats guy all these years, has been doing some really good work, and we have been doing some statistical analysis with regard to shapes and times and color and whatnot. I mean, the time of day has been fairly consistent, and the difference between the unknowns and the knowns don't vary a great deal, but there are some slight fluctuations. We do know that the highest number of UFO reports comes generally in summer months, although for some reason there are some anomalies, like some years we'll get a peak in June and July, and the next year it'll be July, August, and sometimes August, September, and then we'll find peaks in October or March that are just as high as some of the summer months or just a little bit below. So there are some very bizarre trends. We're going to be doing our 25-year analysis sometime in the next several months. Because that's a lot of cases. We're talking of the order of about 15,000 UFO reports.
Wow. That would be very fascinating to see what kind of patterns you can unearth there. We have Absolutely. Chris Rutkowski joining Gene and Chris, because that means you're in
the Paracast.
Mm-hmm. Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
With new and ever-increasing health threats on the rise, there has never been a more crucial time to support your immune system. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary new silver solution that is clinically shown to be several hundred times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver, and is powerful enough to help protect you and your family from deadly viruses, bacterias, and fungus. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, highly effective, and perfect for everyday use inside the body as well as out. The science Digest Journal says silver is our mightiest germ fighter. It is virtually non-toxic and is emerging as a wonder of modern science. Supernatural Silver is the number one choice of thousands for improved health and immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver can change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com. Supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off. Give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Chris Rutkowski joining us. We're talking about Canada's UFO wave, but also, do we have any cases where it's seen on both sides of the border in Canada, and then people in the U.S. see the same thing?
Well, that's an interesting question. I do know that we'll get reports from, let's say, the American side of Lake Ontario, reporting things that are seen over the lake in the Canadian side, and vice versa. Somebody will report things in the southern part of Ontario, seeing things that are over the American. I don't recall many cases at all where there are simultaneous observations from both sides of the border. There probably are a few, but I can't think of any offhand.
Mm. The other thing, that almost is strange, because certainly to a UFO, assuming it is something alien, it's intelligently controlled, would the borders of a country make any difference?
That's a very good point. I think the limiting factor is that someone, let's say in Saskatchewan, who sees a UFO, first of all, there's no one investigating in Saskatchewan. They'll report the sighting to Peter Davenport or to MUFON. Across the border in Montana, whoever is in charge of Montana MUFON may get the report, but there's not a lot of dialogue going back and forth. I don't think there's ever been a concerted effort to compare Canadian cases with regard to time of day and month and that type of thing with what's been going on across the border. It would be an interesting exercise. We do include MUFON reports routinely in our Canadian UFO survey, the ones that are reported to MUFON that occur in Canada. But checking back and going into the databases, both ours and MUFON, for things that occur along the borders on the same day. I guess the one exception is reports of fireballs and rocket reentries. We do have a number of cases where observers on both sides of the border do report those. And that type of thing can be found in the data, but of course those are the ones that we can explain.
Have you taken the opportunity to look at U.S. cases compared to the cases in Canada to see if they're all reporting the same kinds of objects? And the reason I mention that is because in South America, for example, the UFO reports tend to be more lurid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say no, mostly because there's no one doing a comparable statistical analysis to what we're doing in the United States. Now, the caveat is that MUFON is starting to do a little bit of that, and over the past number of years they have been doing it, but certainly not when we started in the late 80s and into the 90s. Was there a comparative analysis of UFO data in the United States? I mean, Peter is doing a wonderful job doing his collection, but there's no analysis that's being done. And back until very recently, MUFON case data wasn't analyzed in that way either. So there hasn't been a real one-to-one analysis between the two countries in that sense. I suspect that there'll be a lot of similarities simply from what we understand. I mean, we do read the cases. I do keep abreast of what's happening in the States. And we do read through a lot of the MUFON stuff. A lot of our sources come through, Stalker and places like that, Sightings.com and so forth. So we do get a lot of reports that are coming through that way. So we see some similarities. I don't know whether we can make any good analytical comparisons at this point because the data is simply not there.
Isn't that unfortunate? We've been at this game, a lot of people, since the late 1940s, and there are scattered pockets of UFO information, like APRO's files are sitting in a bunch of locked file cabinets that aren't being checked or digitized. But you think it's kind of a crying shame that we have all this case history out there and putting it all together doesn't seem to be being done.
I have to agree. It's really unfortunate. Even putting together our Canadian UFO survey, it had some rough parts because I certainly don't investigate cases everywhere in Canada. I mean, it's a big country. In fact, in Canada, there are only a small handful of people doing serious UFO research and investigation. And when you're talking about one investigator in a province twice the size of Texas, that can result in some issues. So we do gather the cases. I mean, if there is an investigator and researcher in British Columbia, we hope that he or she will help us in passing along the case reports. And there's a group called UFOBC that's actually doing that and cooperating very well with us. Some provinces have UFO organizations, some do not. And it's a matter of generating and trying to find the information for putting in the Canadian UFO survey. It was actually true, unfortunately, that some UFO investigators refused to participate in the Canadian UFO survey. I'm not going to give you my data. It's my data and so forth. That's their prerogative, but it's not contributing to the ultimate research goal of trying to understand what's going on. The other thing is that I should note is that in terms of difference between our Canadian UFO survey and what could be done in the United States is that we do get Canadian UFO documents from official sources, such as the police, from the military that come through traffic control sources and that type of thing. We do get those cases. We've had a good relationship. In fact, this whole thing about disclosure has been sort of a moot point in Canada because all the UFO cases that were reported officially through channels are actually available in some cases online, but are certainly available in the National Archives of Canada. And even to this day, we continue to get UFO reports from military bases and so forth. So we don't get that in the United States. In fact, ever since Blue Book closed, that's kind of a black hole. We don't know what the types of cases are occurring, what characteristics there are, how many, and so forth, and what the distribution is like. All we have to go on are the civilian reports, and it's difficult to compare that when we here in Canada have the civilian reports plus official reports.
But is there an official position by the authorities about whether UFOs are real or not?
Oh, absolutely. The same position as the Americans, that UFOs don't pose any threat and there's no scientific merit to studying them whatsoever. Having said that, there is a document which is part of training for pilots, both military and civilian, which clearly says to pilots it is their responsibility to report unidentified flying objects, and they actually spell it out, unidentified flying objects, over Canadian airspace and reporting them to authorities. So pilots have an obligation in Canada to report UFOs.
Of course, there are similar regulations in the U.S., but you wonder how many pilots would dare report a UFO, because if it gets out, it could really hurt their reputation. I mean, we don't like airlines much to begin with these days. It's like flying is being stuffed into a sardine can. Everything's an option. Your luggage is an option. Breathing is an option, I think. They haven't asked me about that. The pathetic meals are more pathetic. You can see the picture. We have Chris Rutkowski joining us with Gene and Chris in
the Paracast.
Largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's L-E-M-K-E Soft.com. LemkeSoft.com. L-E-M-K-E Soft.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Exploring UFO cases in Canada, where there was a big UFO wave, second largest in the years that he studied the cases, Chris Rutkowski. Let me ask you quickly here, with regard to taking UFOs seriously. Now, when I first wrote you to come on the show, I caught an article at CBC News in Manitoba, UFO sightings soar to new heights in Canada, and it seemed to be a perfectly serious article about the subject. Really straightforward. How is coverage handled in your country?
Yeah, refreshing.
Indeed.
I have to say it's fairly straight. You know, there's still some of the ridicule curtain going on. There are, you know, the standard newscasters with the banter at the desk sort of joking about little green guys and so forth. That'll happen. But for the most part, it's pretty straight. And one of the reasons for that is that I'm trying to liaise between the lay public and the scientific community. I mean, that's why we put our data online. People can look at the data. They can look at the cases. They look at our analysis. And I'm not making any extraordinary claims. In fact, I spoke recently at a university here in Canada to a pretty tough crowd, a pretty cynical crowd. And they were impressed with the fact that I wasn't talking in terms of, you know, the aliens are here and living among us. And, you know, they're from Alpha Centauri or from here and for that. I'm sticking really closely to the facts. I'm really doing just the straight stuff in the sense that I want to know what people are really reporting, and I'm reporting that people are reporting. I'm reporting that people are reporting.
Nice turn of phrase.
Yeah, yeah. They're reporting UFOs, unidentified flying objects, and I make a point of saying that just means things in the sky you can't explain. Doesn't necessarily mean spacecraft. And the numbers are there, the statistics are there, and the witnesses come from all walks of life, air traffic controllers, pilots, butchers, bakers, candlestick makers, the whole thing. And I'm really just reporting. I'm the Jack Webb of ufology, maybe.
Just the facts, man.
Just the facts. And if you want to interpret beyond that, that's fine, but you stick your neck out and it's going to get chopped off pretty quick.
That's interesting that you bring out the Jack Webb reference. I wonder how many people even remember who he was.
Now we're dating ourselves.
Yeah. I've got an interesting question for you. I'm going to be interested in your answer. The recent citizens hearing on UFO disclosure that took place at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., I happened to be a camera person on that that five-day event, and the whole thing was ended with ex-Canadian Minister of Defense Paul Hellyer, who read a section from one of Jim Sparks' books, which I personally feel is quite questionable. But he read a dialogue between the ETs and Jim Sparks about, you know, we're messing up the environment, and, you know, all your standard knee-jerk statements allegedly made by ETs to contactees and abductees. How is his very upfront demeanor and some of his kind of over-the-top statements about the reality of the UFO phenomenon, how is that being perceived up in Canada?
Well, I have to say that it's probably being perceived the same way as it is in the States. And when it's covered on the news, there's a lot of chortling going on. A lot of people put credence in Hellyer's statements because he was a Minister of Defense. And it was a very short time, and it was only for a matter of 18 months or so, or maybe just a little bit longer than that, in the 1960s. So his tenure as defense minister was a long time ago, first of all. But I took it upon myself to go through the government documents. I did mention that, you know, government documents about UFOs are readily available now in Canada. So I went and looked at the documents about UFOs that were available from the 19 or during the time that he was Minister of Defense. Curiously, he says that he never was interested in UFOs during his time in office and didn't see anything interesting crossing his desk. That to me is a little strange, because I have that we found many documents that his name is on that obviously had passed through his office and his desk regarding some really remarkable UFO cases, including Shag Harbor, which is a major case that some of you might be aware of, where something crashed into the ocean off Nova Scotia. Happened also during the time when Stephen Mikulak happened upon a UFO that burned him, and he was taken to the Mayo Clinic for testing. And the RCMP and the Canadian Air Force and a number of other official agencies were heavily, heavily involved, to the point where there's hundreds upon hundreds of documents. It was in the media, it was in all the papers, and there's dozens and dozens of other cases that were really remarkable going on at the same time, and he doesn't remember anything that was significant crossing his desk.
Well, maybe he put his blinders on.
It's very possible. It's very possible.
Well, that doesn't sound likely. I mean, those cases are some of the most sensational cases in the history of ufology, and they did happen in Canada, and he, I'm sure, would be aware of them. There's no way he could not be. So what do you make of his denial of being interested back then?
Well, he's made some very, you know, interesting statements. You mentioned reading Sparks' book. You mentioned, you know, other things where he said that the tall white aliens go into Las Vegas occasionally on weekends and disguise themselves as nuns. I mean, he's actually said these things at public forums. And what would bring someone with his reputation and background to make those statements? And you know, considering he has the credibility, and I mean, he had credibility back in the 60s when he was a politician. In Canadian politics, he actually deviated into some pretty strange fringe politics after that point, being actually involved in a lot of fringe parties. And I think he probably lost a little bit of his credibility among the Canadian public through that. But in terms of the UFO connection, why he would be saying that, and I'm saying this satirically and cynically, but just imagine if you had a military person and a politician go on record to state that the aliens really were here. And that we know all about them, and they look like this, and they do this. Why do we put credence in someone like that, but when Obama opens his mouth, or Al Gore, or Clinton, we think that he's lying? And yet, here's a politician that we believe every word that's coming out of his mouth. To me, it doesn't make any sense. And just imagine, isn't it a wonderful way to spread disinformation to have something credible?
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Make all these wild statements. And people are believing it. So he's saying things I think a lot of people want to hear. And actually, I was engaged in a discussion with somebody on Facebook not that long ago who has had a number of contact experiences, and he believes Hellyer completely. And that's fine. It just remember that, you know, Hellyer himself says that he didn't have personal experience. He's been told that the aliens are really here by somebody else who he's not naming. And, you know, it's, I don't see the evidence. I don't see good proof backing up his statements at all. So I'm really wondering why he's doing this. I've actually been on a program together with him. He's a very nice man. I like him. I just really doubt what he's saying has any veracity in terms of the reality with regard to UFOs.
Yeah, he seems very, shall we say, misinformed and not very up to speed on much of the subject. I think he latches on to some of the more sensational aspects and I think does scientific ufology a disservice by being such a person with that kind of, you know, implied stature. And then, you know, coming up with let's be honest, some rather outlandish statements that are taken seriously by the true believer crowd. But I think it really pushes away potential scientific and academic involvement even more than it's already being pushed away myself.
Okay, with Gene and Chris, we'll have more with Chris Rutowski. Getting two Chris's on the show always gets confusing.
Yes.
But we do know you're in
the Paracast.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
It's hard to imagine when things are going reasonably well just how quickly things can change. But what would it take? Economic collapse? Massive crop failure? Chemical or biological attack? So many situations could find you in the grocery looking to pick up food for your family only to find that the shelves are empty. There's nothing. Don't let that happen. Act today to make sure that if it ever comes to that, you and your family will be provided for. Visit freezedryguy.com to look at the wide variety of survival foods available. Freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy store longer, rehydrate faster, are nutritionally superior to, and taste better than any other long-term storage food available. Visit freezedryguy.com or call toll-free 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we have Chris and Chris O'Brien and Chris Rutkowski, and they will fight amongst each other for who gets top billing.
Okay. And the other thing I was going to mention about Paul Hellyer, and this is actually something that's glossed over, too, in his background. He was actually present when the world's first UFO landing pad was formally opened in Canada in 1967. What was happening was that there was a Canada Centennial founded in 1867. And for 1967, they had contests across Canada and some government funding to create some interesting community ideas and do something. The community of St. Paul, Alberta, decided they would make a UFO landing pad. It was it's a raised platform, and it has all, you know, flags of all the nations. And the idea was that UFOs would land there, and you know, rather than the White House or whatever, I don't know. And they really embraced it. In fact, St. Paul, Alberta had similar festivals comparable to Roswell, you know, the Roswell UFO Festival. Well, St. Paul, Alberta had a number of these as well. In fact, the Center for UFO Studies has donated its a lot of its collection and its traveling UFO display that John Timmerman used to have to a museum. And now there's a UFO museum underneath the UFO landing pad in St. Paul, Alberta. And it's quite a tourist attraction. You can go to the Radio Shack, and it, you know, has parts advertised for your flying saucer. You know, it has, you know, a lot of the restaurants have flying saucer pizzas and themes and things like that. It's a lot of fun. But Paul Hellyer was the minister in charge of the Air Force at that time. And he actually spoke at the opening of the UFO landing pad in St. Paul, Alberta in 1967. So there is a connection there, too, that goes back quite a long way.
So he spoke there, but he never saw the cases that came on his desk.
No.
All right. I'm just making notes here. I'm just writing this down that we understand what excuses he's making for all this.
Okay.
Is there a feeling, though, that maybe because the guy's gang on in years, he's being a little bit more eccentric than he might have otherwise been? That's just a theory.
Well, it's a possibility, although I have to say when I met him, he was one of the most lucid 80-some-year-olds that I've ever met. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'm hoping that that's not the case. But, I mean, the possibility that, he's, as you say, misinformed and spreading a little disinformation, those are possibilities, too, that I think people should take seriously.
You know, one subject that always interests me here is disclosure, in the sense that, of course, we have activists who are pushing forward. But I wonder here whether some things that are being done paint the way to a gradual disclosure. And I think, for example, the discoveries, more and more of these discoveries of so-called Goldilocks or Type M planets around other star systems that may harbor at least the potential for life. I think the other day they were talking about something that's 1.1 times as large as Earth. Now, that's getting closer.
Yeah, I mean, my background's in astronomy, and I share the views of most astronomers that there's probably life out there somewhere, and it's the old problem of getting here from there and vice versa. I predict that, you know, this most recent case of a planet that was very similar in size to Earth, I predict that within a year, we'll have information and news about a planet that is exactly like Earth. In other words, you know, not only similar in size, but probably has an atmosphere, probably orbiting a star at the same distance as ours, same color star and so forth. I think we're very close to that. I'm not a big fan of disclosure in general. I mean, it's interesting now that it's shifted away from, you know, Obama or somebody going on national television and saying that we have the alien ship in our possession or the aliens have been contacted us, to a more gradual thing. To me, that's no different than saying, you know, we're just going to continue on and doing our own studies and investigation and science will march on. And especially since in terms of documents and official viewpoints, I've mentioned that in Canada, we have all the documents. Well, okay, I'll caveat that. I'm sure that there are some that we don't have, but we've been having a steady stream of documents that have been available all along without any interruption regarding UFOs reported to official agencies. So, and there's a number of other countries that have, you know, released vast quantities of documents, like England, for example, and, you know, that Nick Pope has been talking about. So I think there's a lot of documents that are out there showing that, you know, the disclosure just isn't going to happen in the way that people believed at one time it was going to happen. Whether we're going to be getting, you know, some additional trickles of information, you know, people have talked about, well, from Hangar One, you know, Velcro and transistors, you know, were developed through communication with aliens. I don't think that's scientifically true, but, you know, there's this impression that there will be some grand announcement, and I just don't see that. From what I've seen in all my investigations and my studies of the way that UFOs are being reported and communicated and the relationship between governments and the UFO phenomenon, I just don't buy into the whole disclosure thing.
Yeah, you and me both. I've been saying that for years myself. I mean, how can the control structure of a society admit that it's not in control and come forward and, you know, shoot themselves in the foot by saying, yeah, we've been lying for 60 years or however long? You know, I think we're both of the like mind in that regard. You know, not to denigrate Stephen Bassett's efforts, Stephen Greer. There's a number of people that have been figureheads in this particular movement, but one of the things that's always interested me, obviously, about Canadian cases is, of course, Shag Harbor, which is a combination of a UFO and a USO, an unidentified submerged object. I seem to remember a few years back that there were a number of cases reported, I think, south of Toronto. Was it Lake Erie or Lake Ontario where objects were seen going in and out? I think it was, what, about 2009, 2010? Do you recall that kind of mini flap? Could you give us a little bit more of a update on those particular reports?
Coming in and out of the lakes, you mean? Coming in and out of the lake, like out of the water?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we still do get reports like that. In fact, there is a group called Orb Watch, which they don't do it as often. They would set up a base. I'm trying to think. I think they set up base on the south shore of Lake Ontario, and would do their recording of video and photo of the UFOs that they were seeing. So there is still some concerted projects that are underway in that regard. And so the water connection is there is very, very strong. You know, Canada has lots and lots of water. So the number of cases that occur with things going in and out of the water is pretty significant.
Could you put approximate percentage on cases? Are we talking about a large number of cases in relation to the total number? Or?
No, actually, I don't think it would be a large percentage. I'm thinking probably, you know, 5 or 10% have some water connection one way or another, which is still, you know, a significant number. But, you know, whether they're occurring over lakes and rivers and over the ocean, that's you know, is the simple proximity enough to, you know, to say that there's connection? I'm not sure about that.
Well, obviously, when you were last on, we did talk at length. I mistook you for Chris Stiles, too, and I apologize for that. But that has always been, I think, one of the best cases on record. Give us just a recap real quick before we go to break of your feelings on the Shag Harbor event and its place in ufological history.
Back in 1967 in the fall, there had been a number of reports of lights in the sky moving around, and they had actually been reported to the police at one point, and the lights were seen moving from the land towards the ocean, and at one point a number of people had seen one of the lights descend toward the ocean and go into the ocean. They actually saw it go in, not that far away from shore. The people reported it to the Mounties, to the police. The police rounded up some fishing boats. They woke people up. This was very early in the morning, thinking that something had fallen, an aircraft had fallen or something. They commandeered the boats. They went out and they found a sort of a greenish foam floating on top of the water, and it was partially luminescent. Later, there had been some underwater retrieval plans. Nothing was officially found, although there's stories that the United States Navy, which did have a base not too far away from there, had sent in some divers and was taking things out down the coast a bit and loading it onto a flatbed and carting it away. There is official documentation that something crashed. A lot of people had seen it. There's government documents attesting that something was definitely seen, but nothing officially was ever found. So it's Canada's version of Roswell. It's a very interesting story. And the difference between it and Roswell is that we do have verification that something was actually seen and fell into the water, and the documentation is there.
We have Chris Rutkowski here with Chris O'Brien and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.